Newberry.
Love you.
Bless you. Bless you. Love you so much.
Praise God. Am I on? Hallelujah. Let's give God the glory. Father, we thank you for what you've done here in this nation. And I thank you, Lord, for what's going to be accomplished today in these services. And Father, I pray for a fabulous outpouring to start moving in a way that this nation has never seen. It'll sweep Africa. This end time move of God. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. And God, it's so good to be back with family. It's so good to be back and see new faces and what you're doing here through Pastor Walker and Pastor Haley. We thank you for their life, for their dedication, how they built upon the foundation that we started and what it's become and what it's becoming. And we praise you and magnify you in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. They was asking me about the title, and I said, well, I had to think a minute, and I said, well, we'll just call it The Fabulous Divide. I send greetings from Tulsa, from Eagle Mountain International Church, where Pastor Copeland's daughter, Pastor Terry, and Pastor George Pearson are pastoring, and now he is a CEO of Copeland Ministries as well as pastoring, and my daughter is their executive administrator for both of them. And when I got on the plane to go to Mombasa last week, she was headed for Europe for a ladies' conference, and we're envisioning great things because our church, we're moving towards different aircraft. We're looking at our church there to, in the future, to have a, I don't know, maybe a 747. We're going to be taking, I don't know how many hundred people on some of these trips for crusades, for conferences, for youth groups and stuff. And we're just moving towards end time as never before. And so when I talk with you today, Brother Copeland, many years ago, and he had had it confirmed on a number of occasions, that in this end time, that Eagle Mountain was going to be a place where, for the, like a capital revival of the world, to where God, where people would come to get back into the gifts of the Spirit, and where people would come to just get a new impartation of God. And for almost a year and a half, there's been unusual manifestations in most of our services through prophetic words, through just preaching and what God is doing. I mean, we have miracles just all the time in our services. It's just a regular occurrence. And not only that, but I'm going to be real brief, but I just want to just say, right at the first of the year, Brother Copeland brought a prophecy, and I just want to kind of lay the foundation of where I'm going to go with it this morning. He's talking about a fabulous outpouring. This coming year, is not going to be like anything or anybody has thought of till now. This is a fabulous outpouring from heaven. Notable miracles at the hands of not only the ministers of the fivefold ministry, but also among the people. Believers will lay hands on the sick. Notable miracles will be done. But watch out for the children. Watch out for the children coming forth with miracle working power manifested among them. They are just children, but they'll be just children. I'm not talking about the 10 and 20 year olds. Of course, they'll be involved, but saith the Lord, the little ones, a child shall lead them. Many things are going to happen in the kingdom of God in 2017, and it won't be anything like you thought. It'll be grander and greater in an outpouring such as you've never seen before, saith the grace of the Spirit of God. And to help you understand when we talk about the children, one of my friends, Jerry, and I were in high school together. We were separated after probably 50 years. And after moving back to America, we ran across each other and we reconnected. And all of a sudden, I began to realize we went to high school together because we'd been separated for 50 years. And I met his wife and his daughter and her children. But Izzy, about a year ago, 5 years old, God began to show me how that this little girl is going to be used as a prophetess. How that God's going to move in her life. So I pray over her and I go to Indonesia and Malaysia, and not Indonesia, but over Malaysia and Kuala Lumpur and the Philippines and Australia. And I'd been over several times in that direction. But by the time I get back, the Holy Ghost has happened, and something happened unusual, that where she has a visitation of Jesus while I'm gone. She has a vision of Jesus at 5. And so I get back on a Sunday morning and she wants to come see me after Super Kids, and she walks in to where I am and wants to sit on my lap because the church service is over and people are milling around, and she hadn't seen me for about 3.5 months, so she's really excited to see. I'm like her grandpa. She's just wanting to see me and Tracy, and we're sitting there and talking, and I sense the Holy Spirit coming on her and anointing is coming on her, and she looks at me and I said, "Do you have something that God wants to say?" She says, "Yeah, the Lord's just now talking to me about Pastor George, Pastor Pearson." I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "Well, Jesus says I have a word that I need to give him." Well, he was over here talking to some people, and I said, "Well, is he? You know, he's busy right at the moment. Let's just sit still a minute." But you know, a five-year-old, they don't sit still very long. And I mean, I couldn't keep her still. And she said, she's just like a racehorse. She's ready to go. And so I have to turn her loose. I said, "Okay, go over there, but don't interrupt until he's ready." She goes over there and stands by him, and he sees her, but you know, he's being polite. But he's listening to this woman. It's one of these that's going to talk forever. And I mean, she goes on, she gets a second wind, and Izzy wants to say something to the pastor. And I mean, 5 years old, you know, like I've been standing here for 3 or 4 minutes, and it, you know, this is for eternity. You're like, "Come on." You're like, and so she reaches over and pulls on his sleeve. He said, just kind of tells her, "Wait just a minute." But the woman just keeps going and going and going. Pretty soon she reaches over and pulls on it again. He said, "Excuse me a minute." He says, "Yes." She said, "The Lord told me," and then she starts prophesying. Almost like an 18 or 20-year-old person. Not a child, not a 5-year-old child. I thought he was going to fall out on the floor. It shocked him because he wasn't expecting it. And he looked over there, and she got through, and she said, "That's all the Lord has to say." She turned around, comes over there to where we are, and so I was amazed because I was listening. I thought, "Woo." But when Brother Copeland said, "Watch the children," we're starting to have in children's church. I think last week we had, 30 some odd young people just get the Holy Spirit, and they were praying for each other and the sick and the stuff back in the Super Kids. And just kind of like a normal service, only it's getting stronger and stronger. And even among the teenagers, and we're just seeing some wonderful things happen. So her dad and mom, granddad, you know, they take her down to one of the superstores, you know. You know, where you can just buy everything. And so she gets out there at Walmart, one of these big superstores in America, and she's waiting for granddad to get out of the car. And she sees some people over here getting out of the car, and they have this van where they have this wheelchair and they fix it all, and they're going to get, you know, they're getting the man in the wheelchair. She walks over to where he is and she says, "I'm Izzy." She said, "Would you let me pray for you?" He looks at her kind of shocked, you know, kind of, you know, like down here at the shopping center, you know, a little kid, 5-year-old kid walk up to him wanting to know, "Can I pray for you?" Yeah. She prays, and he gets up out of the wheelchair and starts walking. He had been crippled. Starts walking. So when Brother Copeland's talking about, and this is not just one incident, we're starting to see, as I travel around the world and stuff, very unusual miracles. I'd been down in Turks in the Bahamas, down below the Bahamas, and I was talking about this Russian woman I'd prayed for a number of years ago that was born without a voice box, and she had a mind of a one-year-old child. Well, I've only seen like one miracle like that instantaneous in my life. Brother Copeland talking about unusual miracles. So I was telling that in my sermon, one of my illustrations, and all of a sudden, this woman brings her son the very next night. Her son is 29 years old, and he can't even say the cat ran down the road. He can't say a three-word sentence. He's just unable. He just doesn't have the mind. He just can't put things together. And God showed her if she'd bring her son and believe in faith that God's going to give him a miracle. I started praying for him. In about 2 minutes, he's totally healed, just like me or you can talk and do anything. And he's never been to school, and yet God just put a mind in him without going to school. Only God could do such a thing like that. That's a very unusual, creative miracle. And I just come from Mombasa, where I've been teaching in the Rhema Bible School there. And I want to just get into it because I've got a limited time here this morning. And I just want to share with you, because over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it said, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversity of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestations of the Spirit are given to every man to profit with all." Say with me, to every man and woman. Amen. To profit with all. We're in the profit business, not the minus business. God wants to bless you and use you to flow in one of the 9 manifestational gifts of the Spirit. Not just the 5-fold ministry. And God told me to start this morning because we're going to have an unusual meeting tonight. Because last Sunday I was preaching there in Mombasa. And as I was ministering, there was a woman, 35 years of age. They bring her to the front. She's sitting in a chair. They put her in a chair. But she couldn't walk. I don't really know all what happened to her, but when her mother was weaning her, she started having complications and things, and from that time until now, she's never been able to walk and run or do anything. And I laid hands on her. She sat in the chair on the front row where that brought her into the service. I take her by the hand of God, just by the hand, and the hand of God comes up on her. They videoed it. I've got it in video to where you, I don't have it with me, but I got it at the hotel room, but they were, of how she gets up and starts walking. Just like me or you, then she starts running. Running just like, never done that in her life. Her mother's crying. Her mother's right behind her over here sitting, and she's crying because she never thought that her daughter would ever walk, much less run. She starts running. She's outrunning me. You say, how can that happen? Only God can do it. Yes. Only God can do it. And so, you know, when you start seeing unusual things happen, God did not bring me back here just to have another service. God is wanting to move in your church because it said, now there are diversities. The Amplified says it this way. Now there are distinct varieties and distributions of endowments, gifts, extraordinary powers, distinguishing certain Christians due to the power of divine grace operating in their souls by the Holy Spirit. When you are born again, There's an experience of receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is a greater anointing than just having the Spirit wash you of your sins. You have a measure of God's Spirit, but then there's the endowment where you receive the Holy Spirit to where God puts a deposit in you, not just for yourself, but for others, where you can flow and move in the Holy Spirit. And just like Izzy, God has a work for you to do. God wants to use you. It doesn't matter if you're 5 years old or 50 years old or 75 or 100. It doesn't really matter. We had a woman come to the service recently at Eagle Mountain. She is pushing 100 years old and God healed her. Don't look at me that way. I remember one time when I was still living in Zimbabwe, I went out to see one of the pastors. I hadn't seen him in a few months, and I was getting ready to go back to the States, and I heard he had been very sick. And when I get there, they put me in because he had been gone somewhere, so I have to sit there and wait. And you've got to understand, there's things about us and about God that, see, Jesus, God lives in eternity. He sees the present, future, everything. So while I was living there, I was getting ready and I go out to see this minister, and they put me in this hut and she's roasting mealy meal, you know, the field corn, turning it over, and it's just her and me. And I said, have you preached in your younger years or has God used you? And she said, oh, yes. So I'm talking with her. And I said, you've got the call of God. She said, tell me about it. She said, well, when I was a little girl, I saw this like a bleached out guy, you know. She'd never seen a white man. She's living down in Matabele land. And she thought it was a white witch doctor. But anyway, you know, she'd never seen anyone quite like that. And she'd had some dreams and how that, later, she met this Methodist pastor, circuit-riding Methodist preacher. And then later, she got married, had a whole bunch of kids. But in 1905, Queen Elizabeth comes from England and rides in her carriage. She could remember that. And she'd been married, and by that time, she's got a whole litter. I mean, they've got kids everywhere. But when Queen Elizabeth came, she had five kids, and some of them were 3 and 4 years apart. And she had married probably when she was about 16 to 18, somewhere right through there. She didn't really know. But when we started trying to get deductive of trying to go back from 1905 and whenever, because this was in 1986 when I was out there. So in 1986, we go back and she was over 125 years of age that we could imagine. But when she was riding on a horse with her husband after she'd been married, a big African, you know, these big black cobras reared up in front of the horse and threw her off and broke her hip. There were no doctors except a witch doctor. You know, there wasn't anyone down there to help her to set the bones. And so she became crippled the rest of her life. And so I'm trying to talk to her, and she's partly deaf. And so I got tired of yelling at her, so I'd just go over and lay my hands on her. And she starts hearing. I thought, that's much better. So she just keeps telling me stories, and she starts looking at me and said, you look familiar to me. I said, I do. She said, yes. She said, when I was a little girl, I had dreams. And I saw myself sitting in a hut cooking mealy and said, you're dressed just like the person I saw in my dream before I was even married. Before I even became a Christian. Now this is interesting. Because I'm telling this, she's telling me this story. And the reason she told me that story is because I looked at her and I told her, I said, there's something wrong with your hip. And she told me the story of how the cobra had reared up and she had broke her hip and she hadn't been able to walk since. So I go over and pray for her and she gets up and starts walking. And I thought, my Lord God, if you can heal a woman who's 125 years of age, you can heal anybody. But the point I'm trying to bring to you is, I wasn't even born when she had those visions. My mother was only born in 1933. She was 82 when she passed on. But I just want to say to some of the church, you know, people that, you know, Aunt Vera, my wife's mother, you know, she was 97 a number of months ago or last year, you know, when she passed away and went home to be with the Lord. But I just want to say to you, she was ready to go. She told me the last week she quit eating. She didn't want to eat. She said, I'm ready to go home. She said, I've been here long enough. And I said, well, what are we going to do without you? She said, well, ask God to open the windows of heaven. You'll see me up there. But you know, when someone older is ready to go home, just turn them loose. Just, you know, hug them and pray with them and say, it's okay. But you don't know, that woman prayed for this church and for you every day. And I'd say she's looking down from the balcony of heaven, smiling this morning, looking into this service, watching. So when I talk about varieties, it says distribution of endowments, extraordinary powers, distinguishing certain Christians from others. Which it means if there's nine manifestational gifts, it says, are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. There's distribution of them. And this word diversity of operations means activities that call forth miracles. God wants us to flow in a way that's going to change people's life. I mean literally change it. So I want you to look at something here with me. We're going to understand, it says, and there are different manifestations. That means for public demonstration and power, just like Izzy out in the parking lot. Most of Jesus' miracles did not take place in a synagogue or a church building. They took place out in the marketplace. We have opportunities out in the marketplace besides on a religious gathering on Sunday to let God flow through us all week long. Say, these hands, look at your hands. Say, these hands, look at them. Put them in front of you. They're going to get anointed today. And God's going to do unusual things through these hands and through my life, because these are going to be instruments for Jesus. I will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's a believer's anointing. In the Great Commission, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach. That's what we're going to do. We're going to share the gospel. And said, God went, they went everywhere, and the Lord confirming the word with signs following. The Holy Spirit just wasn't for the 12 apostles and that early group of gathering. It's because in 1 Corinthians 1:7, that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall confirm you until the end. God wants to use us as proof producers to where the world can see that Jesus really is alive. He said they got their holy book. So they do, but they're lost. The Bible says there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. And if that is the truth, we have a tremendous opportunity to reach millions for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're starting to see one of the largest ingatherings that you can imagine around the world. There's things happening, and everywhere I hear and ministers from, I was just up at Rhema where Pastor Walker was there, and I was talking to all the different ministers that I know and what's happening among their churches and their laymen and just their children's church and the young people. Even in America, there's starting to be a turnaround, a move of the Spirit, and people that was there in meetings of all kinds of Rhema students from around the world had come to be home at the winter seminar, and I was talking to them, and they were talking about their nations and their places, and he said, it's just amazing of how that God is moving and what God's doing, and there's one evangelist named Anaconda. He's in Brazil. And he had this last year, some of his crusades are running 2.5 million people per night. 2.5 years ago, one of the churches in Brazil decided, you know, they wanted to build them a new auditorium that'd seat 150,000 people. And that was stretching it. They as an evangelist, you know, I mean, we're going to build this thing and then we're going to fill it. You know, they built it. It was beyond what they had. But by the time they got the church built, on a Sunday morning, the explosion of God's power, they had 500,000 people attend the opening service. And as a result of it, they've been running over 500,000 ever since and growing. So Marcellus, who's in Italy, he said, I just got word from these people and some of them are wanting you to come down to Brazil. And I said, I don't know what for. They said, they do. They said, they understand because in Brazil I had prayed for this young soccer player who had been all crippled up. He had 29 titanium rods and screws and stuff in his feet from a car accident. And I was watching in Europe, you know, he got all this World Cup. What is it? Whatever's going on, they're trying to play for the finals or get into something. But anyway, I was looking at the World Cup. I sat in a coach's home the last time I was there. He's born again. He got saved because he had invited me because this young boy is now, God told me he was going to be on their soccer team and going to be better than he had ever been before. So he was playing the other day. I got to watch him on TV. When God heals someone and now they're on a soccer team, a Holy Ghost tongue talking soccer player, and then he brought his friend and he got healed and he had been in an accident. I'm telling you, God's up to something. And they wanted to be Christian athletes for Jesus. So if you know it or not, you're watching some tongue-talking soccer players. Hallelujah. May not make you happy, but it makes me happy. But I'm trying to tell you, see, Jesus activated something very unusual. Jesus activated one of the greatest outpourings of a proclamation of things. And I was going back because I wanted to read to you just something that Brother Hagin said. And he was talking about this end time. I've got several pages of this. So I only just want to read part of it. He said, we're standing on the verge. We're standing like on the edge of a cliff about to slip off and slip out. And we're standing right on the verge of it. He said, if you could see what I see, he says, it's almost indescribable. He's talking about before Jesus returns of the glorious church and what God is going to do in the earth. Said, we're right on the edge. We're right on the edge. Who will come and go with me? We will move forward into the realm of the Spirit, proclaiming the word, seeing the Holy Ghost in manifestation, demonstration that will startle mankind and cause many to turn to the Lord. And there it will be a cause for great joy, and there will be much cause of rejoicing. Without reading all this, he's talking about a restoration of power, a restoration of glory, and the glory of God will be seen upon you. In Mombasa, I was there at the hotel on the beach. And I just, because I was teaching every day for so many hours and whatever this past week, and I was pretty well keeping myself shut in and really not doing much. And so all over the hotel, and the people even in the hotel come up to me and said, are you a preacher? I said, why do you ask? He said, you just glow. He said, it's almost like you're an angel. He said, when he's walking, it's almost just like brightness is coming off of you. I said, what is it? I said, I just love people. They said, no, but there's something different about you. We've never seen anyone like you. I said, that's probably true. So I started talking to him, and I had this one guy that came up to me, had been waiting on me in the kitchen, and he said, I'm a believer. And he said, my sister over here, she's born again too. And she said, we've been watching you all week long. And so I was praying with him there in the hotel. And so even on the, when I went to the airport at, from Mombasa and they're getting ready to get on the plane, this one guy comes up to me because I was in the speaker lounge or in the business lounge and whatever. And he comes up to me and he said, there's just something different about you. He says, are you a preacher of the gospel? I said, yes, I am. He said, will you pray for me? And so I prayed for him, and he'd been going through a lot of situations and everything, but it's just right there in the airport. See, you don't have to be in church. You meet people where they are. You've got to learn to do something. You say, well, what about me? This is what I'm trying to get to. God is wanting to authenticate something in a way in your life that will cause extraordinary miracles, manifestations of the Spirit to give unto every man, activities that call forth, and manifestations for public demonstration. God wants to bring himself out in the marketplace, in businesses and finances, to working with people to where you will show them that God can prosper you. They will see that God loves you. They will see the manifestation. See, Jesus demonstrated the power of God. He turned the water into wine. This was at a wedding. So if I see you drinking wine, it's all right if Jesus made it. Jesus demonstrated power over the tempest. He spoke and became still. Jesus demonstrated power with the withered hand that restored and made whole. Jesus demonstrated power with the cripple at the pool. He just got up and walked. He said, well, what about me? Well, that's why I'm talking to you this morning. He said, you'll receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. How many know that in the book of Hebrews it said we'll have greater manifestations? It said, well, the church will be, the New Testament church, it said we're greater than the Old Testament church. Now, I'm going to read something to you out of Exodus, what God said to the Old Testament people. In Exodus 34, verse 10, behold, I make a covenant before all my people, thy people. This is God saying, I'm going to make covenant with you. How many know that God's made covenant with us? He's made covenant. He said, I will do marvels such as never been seen and done in all the earth, not in any nation. And all the people among which thou art shall see the work of the Lord. For it is an awesome or terrible thing of what I will do with thee. It's a wonderful thing what God wants to do through us. You know, the King James talks about a terrible thing. It's really the word is awesome in the Hebrew. And God wants to do an awesome thing among us. Point at your neighbor and say, God wants to do an awesome thing through you. He wants to use you. He wants to, in a way, he said, I'm going to make a covenant. I'm going to do marvels. God's going to do marvels, marvelous things. Some people drove down from Oklahoma the other day. They'd been watching the programs on TV, in which you can do it. You can go to Eagle Mountain Church and watch me every Sunday or different times when I'm there, when I'm not out preaching somewhere. And just a couple of Sundays ago, they came down because God told them that we was going to have an unusual service. And the power of God fell on that service. And worship hit the place where people just couldn't even, the worship and the power of God was so strong. And Pastor George and me and a bunch of others, we just all laid out on the platform, just couldn't even stand. So finally when I'm able to get up, because the awesome presence of God was so strong, we'd been worshiping for an hour and a half to 2 hours, just worshiping God. And the power of God was so strong. I'm just drunk in the Holy Ghost. And as I get up, all of a sudden, as I was laying there before I get up, it's like the heavens opened up. I wasn't looking to have a vision. I was drunk in the Holy Ghost. I was just worshiping God and loving on Jesus. And the Lord said, look up to the throne. And when I did, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. I don't know how to describe it. Just the glory of, he wasn't sitting, he was standing. And Jesus said, tell my people I'm well pleased with their worship. I'm well pleased. Then he gave other things to me. And the power of God just started breaking out because the people were pushing in. And if we are going to have the unusual, it's because we love him and we're going to push into the glory. We're going to push into the anointing. We're going to push in where we haven't been before. And we're just going to make love to him. And when we make love to him, he starts manifesting. And the power of God starts demonstrating. And people get healed. People get saved. People get delivered. Things happen that would have never happened. But when you push in, you're going to be the key to someone's miracle. You're going to be the key for someone's deliverance. You're going to be the key for what they need. And God wants you to know this morning and that he wants to use you. And when we look at this, I was reading over in Psalms 10, my people shall be willing in the day of his power. When the power of God shows up, it's just amazing how people are willing to do something. It's not a struggle to get people to do something when the power of God's flowing and the anointing is in a service. But brother, you try to squeeze money out of them or you try to do something when God's not moving. Ooh, it's a rough road. But I'm trying to tell you, it said they'll be willing in the day of my power and the beauties of his holiness. And in Psalms 111, it said, he has shown his people the power of his work that he may give unto them the heritage of the heathen. The power of the Holy Spirit is given for one reason, so that you can be witnesses. The power of the Holy Spirit coming and filling you with the baptism and receiving the Holy Spirit is for one purpose. That is for you to touch others. It's not just for you to edify yourself alone, but where you get built up, where you can go out as a dynamo in the Holy Ghost, and you can pray for people, and you can witness to people, and you can have a cup of tea with somebody in the marketplace, and you can meet the need. They may be ready to commit suicide. They may be ready just to give up in life. Their marriage may be about over, and you're going to be the key to unlock of what they desperately need. They need a touch of God. And you're going to be the person to turn that key in their life. To save that marriage. To save a teenager from committing suicide. Oh, I'm just telling you, there's just so many examples we could just sit and talk about. But we're talking about how you'll receive virtue, miraculous energy. To give proof that Jesus is risen from the dead. Not a hearsay religion. Not someone who's a phantom 2,000 years ago that lived. But I'm telling you, he's alive today. Like this young man came up to Reinhard Bonnke in Cape Town. And he said, Reinhard, I don't like the gospel that you preach. It's too old. I want something new. I'm a new ager. I want something for my generation. Reinhard looked at him and I was curious, like, what is he going to say, this kid? Had 75,000 people standing out in front. The meeting's over and he got on a platform and wanted to talk to him. So I kind of get over where I can eavesdrop because I'm curious to what he's going to say. So Reinhardt's talking to this kid. He said, young man, he said, when I go to a phone booth and I need to make a call, he said, I don't care how old that phone book is. I don't care how many people it took to put the phone book together. He said, there's only one thing I'm interested in if I'm trying to call Jesus. J-E-S-U-S. He said, the only thing I want to know, when I dial the number, am I going to get through? He said, I don't care how old the Bible is. I don't care how long it's been. He said, every time, he said, when I ask God, and it said his, God says, have I not spoken it and will I not make it good? He says, when I look at God's word, God will make it good to our generation. He said, God is not a man that he should lie, neither son of man that he should repent. Has he not spoken it and will he not make it good? Yes, he will make it good. When he says you'll lay hands on the sick, that's a believer's anointing. That means you can lay hands on the sick. Brother Green, that means you can lay hands on the sick. They'll recover. They will recover. Amen. If you'll believe it and act upon the word, faith will come into you. The power of God will come into you. And there'll be an exhibition of evidence that Jesus is with you. And it says they went everywhere and the Lord working with them, signs and wonders and miracles. And God's going to go with Miracle Life Family Church. Where when you come to this church, you're going to have a miracle life, a supernatural lifestyle. God's hand is going to come upon you and you're going to do things in the natural that you would not do without the Holy Ghost. But Spirit's going to come on you and you're going to flow in the gifts of the Spirit. You're going to move in the power of God. God, and the shadow of God's going to come upon you, and you're going to prophesy, and you're going to move in the gifts. She has a reason to get happy. If you could feel what she's feeling, you'd scream too. If you could feel anointing of God that's flowing through her right now, you'd say, hey, give me some of it. Come here, sister. Help her up. A couple of brothers just come. She may be too drunk, or just let her sit there. That's all right. That's all right. We'll just let her. The anointing of God is strong in this place. How many can sense the power of God? You know, we just want to take a minute here. And it says that Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every sickness among the people. God wants to heal you. God wants to set you free. Come here. You're going to be my ambassador for a couple of minutes. Don't come up here. I'm going to come to you. That's all right. See your hand? Look at them. You feel the anointing in them? They're burning. Come with me. Just go with me. Come here. Some of you won't be prayed for. Come here. She's going to lay hands on you. Just put your hands on them. God, just fill her. Just fill her. Come here. Come on. Come on. Come on. There's an anointing in this place. If you're wanting to be prayed for, you're wanting an impartation of God, just get over here. The power of God's on this woman. I'm showing you that God didn't have to use me. He's going to use you in the name of Jesus. Woo! Don't run. Don't fall down on me. I need you. Come here, young lady. Yeah, you. You too. Come here. Come around quickly. There it is. Now I need some more. I need some more Holy Ghost technicians. Come here. You know what you're fixing to do? You're going to be a Holy Ghost. Have you ever had the Holy Ghost? You know what it is to be born again, filled with the Spirit? Be filled. Now, come here. Is this your friend? Put your hands on her. Just pray for her. Start praying for her. If you'll pray for her, God's going to flow through you. Put your hands on her. Jesus' name. 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 Come on. That's it. Glory to God. Right now, if you're feeling an anointing come into your eyes, if your eyes are beginning to burn, the gift of seeing and realms and visions, discerning and distinguishing of spirits, where you'll see evil spirits and God's angels, not just bad, but good as well. You're going to start seeing things. If you're having a burning in your eyes, come up here because we're going to pray for you. Just line up right here. Quick. There's several. Not everyone's going to have it because he put gifts in the church, different ones. Come here. Where'd my woman go? I need her. Here. Just come right here. Put your hands on her eyes. Jesus' name. Start seeing visions, angels. And as the Spirit wills, you'll see demons that are inside people. You'll cast them out. You'll cast them out. You'll cast out evil spirits through seeing and knowing, seeing and knowing, seeing and knowing. Shakototoya, seeing and knowing, seeing and knowing. Shakototoya, shakatatototoya, shakatata. Come over here. Come on, folks. Move in with me. I want another group. If you're feeling the power of God, you're feeling a burning in your hands in the Psalms, in the palm of your hands, come and make another line. Make a line over here. Line them up. Line them up. Come on. Because this isn't empowering for what God's going to do with you. You're going to see in the realms of God. Just quickly. We got a lot to do in just a few minutes. That's it. Bring these over here. They'll make a line over there and we'll make another one here. You feeling the power of God in your hands? It says, for signs and wonders and miracles, through the gift of faith, through the working of miracles, through the gifts of healings. But the greatest is the faith, because you can't do anything without faith. In Jesus' name, to use them. Use them. These hands will be hands to lay hands on the sick for unusual miracles, unusual manifestations. In Jesus' name. Pastor Walker, before time gets away from us, just help me come here and pray, you and Haley. We're just going to pray. Because we just start down here. Take my hand. I want you guys, Father God, in Jesus' name, that special anointing, God, for impartation into your people, for the gifts of the Spirit's going to flow. In Jesus' name, we'll just start somewhere and just go through it. That's it. Receive in Jesus' name. 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 Shakoto totoriyarakata. Shakata tatariyarakata. Shakata tatariyarakata. Shakata tatariyarakata. Shakata tatariyarakata. Rakata takata. Shikoto totoriyarakata. I want you to listen to Brother Newberry a second. The Lord would have you to know, this is a new season for my church. It's a new season for you, saith the Lord, where this church is going to multiply. You are going to see the hand of God come in fresh moves and waves. And the Lord wants to use you. The Holy Spirit's going to be big in you. And the Lord would have you to know unusual manifestations. And the power of God shall be seen. And the glory of the Lord will be manifested. And His name will be magnified. So rejoice and be glad. A new time and a new season. And I am releasing new finances for you that are struggling. And for you that are in debt. And for you that need your bread multiplied. I will give you a new job. I will provide for you in a way that you never thought possible, saith the Lord. So trust in me and put your hand out towards me, and you will see divine provision. You'll see an increase of finances, and you'll see health in your home, and disease will break off of you, saith God. And health will be restored unto you. And where your knees have hurt and your ankles have been hurt, you will walk without pain. And the pain will leave your stomach, and pain will leave your body. And when you're a diabetic, you will be healed. And where you've had cirrhosis of the liver, you will be healed as you walk with me, as you trust me. I will be your healer. I will be your deliverer, for I am your soon coming king. The harvest is great. So thrust in your sickle and let God use you, saith the Lord, for the power of the Holy Ghost. Let's just rejoice a minute. Rejoice a minute. Just rejoice a minute.